So today we're going to take a bit of a deeper dive into the debate between Rav Moshe Feinstein and the Tzitz Eliezer regarding abortion. As many of us know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was far less permissive than the Tzitz Eliezer of Waldenburg. Rav Moshe Feinstein assumed that abortion is tantamount to ritzicha, to murder, whereas Rav Eliezer Waldenburg thought that wasn't the case, that maybe it's wounding, maybe it's destroying potential life. So he was far more permissive than Rav Moshe Feinstein. What's the basis for their debate? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Zayin Amud Beis, which says in the name of Rabbi Ishmael that Af Al Ha'u Barim, that a Noachite, a non-Jew, can be put to death even for killing fetuses. And what's the reason? Dichsiv Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam Damo Yishefech. The Pasuk says in Parshas Noach, that if someone spills the blood of a person in a person, so then his blood shall be shed. So what is Ezeo Adam Shehu Ba'adam? What's an Adam Ba'adam? What is a person within a person? So Haviomer is that Ubar Shibmei Imo. So this refers to killing a fetus. So for this, a non-Jew is put to death for killing a fetus. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph, which says, Leka Midei L'Yisrael Shari. There's nothing that is permitted for a Jew that's forbidden for a non-Jew. In other words, when God originally commanded the entire world with seven mitzvos, and then later on gave the Jewish people 613 mitzvos, what it means is that we have to follow the laws of the non-Jews, plus we have additional responsibilities, additional obligations, additional restrictions. So it can't be that the non-Jews are forbidden from doing something and we're allowed to do it. It doesn't make sense, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. And Tosafos says, well, what about, for example, Shabbos? It says that if a non-Jew observes Shabbos, he's chayev, he's liable. So how can that be? How could it be that a non-Jew is not allowed to keep Shabbos, but a Jew has to keep Shabbos? So the Gemara deals with certain cases that seem to go against this principle that there is nothing, the principle being that whatever is forbidden to a non-Jew is also forbidden to a Jew. So they Tosas asks, well, what about Ubarim? What about killing fetuses? The Obekul Chavim Chayav Yisrael Pater. It seems that a non-Jew is liable and a Jew is exempt. So Tosfos answers, Afagav de Pater Mikokom Lo Shari. No, all it means, says Tosfos, is that a Jew is exempt, but it doesn't mean they're allowed. It doesn't mean that a non-Jew is allowed to kill a fetus. But they're not liable the same way that a non-Jew is liable. So that's the question. What does that mean? They're not liable the same way. How fundamentally different is it if a Jew kills a fetus from if a non-Jew kills a fetus? If a non-Jew kills a fetus, presumably that's ritzicha, that's tantamount to murder. So if a Jew kills a fetus, is that also tantamount to murder, but they just don't get the death penalty? Or is it something that is much less? So there's a Mishnah in Aholos, Perek Zayin Mishnah Vav. And there the Mishnah says, Ha'isha shehi mekasha leleid. So let's say there's a woman who is having difficulty giving birth. Mechatchim asavla b'me'aha. They can cut up the child in her womb. V'umotzin osa ivarim evarim. And they can remove the child limb by limb. Why? Mipnei shechaya kodmim lechayav. Because her life comes before the life of the child. However, yatzarubo, if the greater part of the child has come out, enogimbo, no, we don't touch him, shim dochi nevesh b'nei nefesh. So, because we do not set aside one person's life for that of another. So in other words, what we're saying here in this Mishnah is that if a woman is in a life-threatening situation while she's about to give birth, and the way to stop that is to kill the fetus, you're allowed to do that, but once the baby comes out, then you're not allowed to do it anymore. Now Rashi simply says the kolzman shel yatzel avir olam lab nefeshu, that as long as the child has not emerged from the mother, he's not called a nefesh. Vinitan lahargo, so you can kill the fetus ulahatzel's imo and to save the mother. So the Rashi seems to indicate that a child inside the mother is not a nefesh, not an independent entity. But Yatsa Rosho, but if the head comes out, then the Havalei Kiyilot, it's a child, it's a born, it's a nefesh, it's a, the child is born, and it's a human being, so then you can't kill the human being. So Rashi seems to take the position on the surface level that in utero, the fetus is not a nefesh. So presumably we would extrapolate from that, so it's not considered ritzich, it's not considered murder. And however, once the child is born, once the child's head pops out, so the mother's having difficulty giving birth, so then you would not be allowed to do anything to the child because he is now a nefesh. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Rotzech, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes, in discussing the laws of the Rodef. What's a Rodef? Rodef is that if Reuven is chasing after Shimon because Reuven wants to kill Shimon, so then if the only way that you could stop Reuven from killing Shimon is to kill Reuven, you're allowed to kill Reuven. So that's the concept of Rodef. So there, the Rambam writes, Lefich Horu Chachamim Sheha Ubra Shehi Mikasha Leleid Mutter So a woman who's having difficulty in childbirth is, and the ubar, the fetus, is like a rodef. It's like he's like a chasing after the mother to kill her. Rodef can even be, apparently, even if it's unwittingly, unintentionally, still called the rodef. And therefore, you can kill the fetus because the fetus is a rodef. V'mishahotzi rosha, but once the head pops out, ein nogim bo, you can't touch the child. Shein dochi nefesh mei nefesh, v'zeo tivol shel olam. One life cannot be sacrificed for another, even though the mother may die. This is the nature of the world. So the Rambam seems to take the position that the only reason why you can kill a child, the fetus, the baby when he's in utero, the only reason why you're allowed to kill the child is because the child's considered a rodef. The simple understanding of the Rambam is that killing the baby in utero is considered ritzicha, is considered murder, and the only allowance is when the baby is a rodef. When we consider the baby like he's pursuing the mother to kill her, so then you're allowed to kill the baby. But if the mother's life was not in danger, then the child would not be considered a rodef, and presumably you would not be allowed to have an abortion. So this seems to be a strong proof for Rav Moshe Feinstein's position. Indeed, Rav Moshe Feinstein, in Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simon Samach Tes, when he discusses the prohibition to have an abortion, even bishvil tsaraim, even when it's causing the having a baby will cause a lot of distress to the mother, so he has a whole host of proofs. He thinks even Rashi holds like him, he thinks Tosus holds like him, but I think his main support is the Rambam. The Rambam seems to take the position that the only reason you're allowed to kill a baby in utero is when the baby is classified as a rodef. However, the big question is, why is the baby only considered a rodef when he's in utero? Isn't he also a rodef after his head pops out? So why would you be allowed to have an abortion? Would a woman be allowed to have an abortion when the baby's in utero, when it could threaten the life of the mother, but not after the baby's head pops out? He's also a rodef there also. Because why is the Rambam only calling the baby a rodef when it's in utero and not after the head pops out? So there are a whole bunch of explanations trying to understand this difficult question within the Rambam. Rav Moshe Feinstein, his approach to solve this problem is when he says, Mishamaya Karadfi, the Gemara Yerushalmi says that after the baby, the head pops out, then Mishamaya Karadfi, that it's not that the once the head pops out, so then it's not the baby is chasing after, pursuing the mother, but heaven is. What does that mean? What it means is, says Rav Moshe, is that once the baby is born and the baby and the baby is still in the mother in a sense, but his head pops out. It's difficult childbirth. The head pops out. So then at this point, the baby is pursuing the mother and the mother is pursuing the baby. They're both rodfim. They're both pursuing each other. So therefore, what are you supposed to do? You can't do anything. Ein dochi nefesh b'nei nefesh. One life cannot be pushed off for another life. Can be set aside. One life cannot be sacrificed for another. So you do nothing. So Moshe says that once the baby is born, but he's still in the mother's still giving birth, and the baby's head pops out, and the majority of the baby pops out, at that point, both parties are pursuing each other, so then you do nothing. You can't kill the baby for the mother. You can't kill the mother for the baby. You do nothing. So that's why you don't touch the baby after the head pops out. However, when the baby's in utero, so then the Rav Moshe says that the baby in utero is a nefesh, but not a nefesh gamur. That's his lashon. He says that the mother takes precedence over the baby in utero. The mother is a nefesh gamur, a complete nefesh. The baby is just a regular nefesh, a lower form, and therefore the Rav Moshe says shenimshashal hayitaron sheika la'ei me'ubar, that the mother has a preference over the ubar, shehi nefesh gamor, it's a complete nefesh, v'hu eino adai nefesh gamor, and the child is not, the baby in utero is not a nefesh gamor, so have a raka ubar rodef va'im eino rodef, she's not a rodef against him because he's not a nefesh gamor. The halacha of rodef only applies to a nefesh gamor. So that's why Moshe sort of walking a tight balance here. On the one hand, it's ritzicha, to kill a nefesh. That's not a nefesh gamor, which is in utero. Baby's in utero. However, it's not considered a rodef if the mother kills, if the mother has an abortion, because her life will be sacrificed if she doesn't have the abortion. And so that's where Moshe writes in his tshuva. And he says that he writes this because there's a pirtza gedola ba'olam. There's been a great breach in the world that in many countries they're allowing an abortion. Moshe Feinstein wrote this tshuva in Tufshin Lamed Zion. So Moshe Feinstein wrote this tshuva in Tufshin Lamed Zion, which is, right, 1977, and the many countries were having many laws that were, this is after Roe v. Wade, and many countries were much more permissive when it came to abortion, said even in Eretz Yisrael, and then he writes that there is lachei nishtomamti, I was astounded, berosi tshuva mechacham echa be'Eretz Yisrael, when I saw a responsa from a great sage in Eretz Yisrael, that was written to the head of the Shari Tzedek Hospital. It was written in the medical journal called Asya. That the doctors, he said that he's allowed to permits an abortion for a fetus that's more than 3 months old, 3 months inside the mother. The mother's more than 3 months pregnant if the baby's going to be a Tay-Sachs child. And Rav Moshe is astounded by this Chacham who wrote this. And he wrote, because this Chacham wrote that according to many poskim, it's only an Isser D'Rabbanan. It's not an Isser D'Oraisa. And even if it is an Isser D'Oraisa, it might simply be that it's Mishum Geder Binyana Shel Olam. It's because you're not, the prohibition of abortion in general is because you're not building up the world. But Aval Machmas Ibn Nefasha ain't in the cloud, but there's no Ritzicha involved, like this what this Chacham wrote. And he brought a tshuva from the Maharit that supports his position, and he brought a tshuva from the Yavitz that supports his position. And Rav Moshe Feinstein feels that this Chacham is completely wrong, and we should not rely on this Chacham. So the question is, whether the Rambam, even if you hold like the Rambam, so you could argue on the Rambam. The Rambam seems to say that if the mother, if the mother is having trouble in childbirth, and the baby and her life is potentially in danger, then she's allowed to have an abortion based on Rodef. So that would indicate if there's not Rodef. So then, if there's no Rodef situation, so then this would be Ritzicha. Then this would seem to be murder. So the question is that really true? There's a tshuva by the Toras Chesed, and I think it was written about 100 years ago. And in the Toras Chesed, Evan Ezer, Siman Mem Beis, says, not so fast. He says that when does the Rambam say that we view the situation as a Rodef situation? See, the Toras Chesed has a problem with the Rambam, because the Rambam elsewhere says that Ubar Yerech Imo. Question is an Ubar, a fetus, its own independent entity? Is it separate from the mother, or is it part of the mother? If it's separate from the mother, then presumably it's its own independent entity, and then you would argue that in utero it would be Ritzicha, because its own entity. Or do you view that no, the Ubar, the fetus, is part of the mother, and therefore it's only considered wounding, or it's only considered destroying potential life? So Rav Moshe Feinstein on the one hand says, if not for Rodef, it seems that it's Ritzicha, which would indicate that the Ubar is not part of the mother. Lav Yerech Imo. However, elsewhere, the Rambam writes that Ubar Yerech Imo, that the Ubar is part of the mother. So what the Toras Chesed writes is, V'nira li, shebemishna de'erchin isa, b'seifa, isha sheyoshva la'mashbram tinalad shetelet. So this halacha about the mother, who the woman who's sitting on the birth stool, and the Gemara says, "My taima, kevan de'akar de'ikar guf de'akar gufa achridahu." So this whole halacha about a woman who's sitting on a mashber, all these halachos about treating this as Ritzicha is only a situation where she is sitting on the mashber, she's sitting on the birthing stool. That at that point, then the fetus is another entity. In other words, kevan da'akar mimakum chiyuso bebetin imo, then lo chashvina liyerech imo. So what he's saying is that the Rambam holds Ubar Yerech Imo until the time of Yashva al Hamashber, when the baby can survive on its own. Let's say you were to remove the baby from inside the mother. So then, if the baby can survive on its own, so then we would say it's murder. In other words, could be that the Rambam, according to Toras Chesed, holds it's not considered murder for most of the time where the mother is pregnant with the child. Only when she's Yoshevesh al Hamashber, only when the baby can survive on its own, it's fully formed and can survive on its own outside the mother, at that point, if you were to terminate the pregnancy, then it would be considered murder. And then the only leniency to kill the baby would be if it's a Rodef situation. But earlier than that, and Rav Schechter actually quoted this Toras Chesed, he said, so maybe it would be the beginning of the ninth month. Maybe it would be a bit earlier nowadays, because nowadays maybe babies can survive on their own outside the mother even earlier than when she's on the birthing stool. So it could be that even if we hold like the Rambam, it's not so clear that most Rishonim probably do not hold like the Rambam, this halacha of Rodef, that the reason why you can kill the baby when the woman is mother's Yosheva Shalom Ashra is not based on Rodef. But even the Rambam will hold that it's Rodef, meaning without the Rodef leniency, it's considered Ritzicha. That would only be in a situation where the baby could live on its own, but beforehand, he would hold Ubar Yerech Imo, and it would not be considered murder. That being said, the Tzitz Eliezer even without the Rambam, the Tzitz Eliezer says, I have my own proof that it's not, that abortion is not considered murder. His perhaps principal biblical argument is in Parshas Mishpatim, Perech Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Beis. The Torah says that if two people get into a fight and one of them pushes a pregnant woman and a miscarriage results and there's no other damage, so then the Torah says, Anoshi Anesh, Kasher Yashis Allah Baal HaYishav and Asam Beflilim, then the one who pushed the woman and who caused the miscarriage should be fined. There should be payment. Now, the halacha generally is that there's a principle called Kimle Bidraba Mine, that let's say, according to strict halacha, that if someone commits two crimes in the same act, he commits a capital crime and a financial crime, kills someone and also causes financial damage, you only suffer the more severe punishment, which is murder. And that might even apply if you do it unintentionally. So let's say you commit a capital crime, but the punishment is not even death. So here in this case, let's say one person, right, two people got into a fight, and one person unintentionally caused the woman to get a miscarriage. So if we would say that killing a fetus is considered murder, then based on the principle of kimle bidravmine, there should be no financial payment. The fact that there's a financial payment indicates that it's not considered murder. Additionally, the Tzitz Eliezer brings a whole host of Rishonim and Achronim who support his position. The Maharit, Rav Yosef Trani from the 16th century in Greece, had a case where he held that, and he used this argument of Parshas Mishpatim to say that it's not Ritzicha. The Yaivitz of Yaakov Emden said that you can, he permitted an abortion in a case where if the child was born, the child would be a mamzer. So the Tzitz Eliezer brought a whole host of Rishonim and Achronim to support his position. So this is the, so based on this, the Tzitz Eliezer said that he would allow an abortion in a case of Tay-Sachs until at least the woman is 7 months pregnant during the first two trimesters, but not during the third trimester. Again, probably he may also hold that by the third trimester, it may be a situation of when the fetus could live on its own. He says the kol kama de lo akar. The key is what he writes that as long as the baby is not fit to live on its own, so then it doesn't make a difference if it's the first month, the second month, the third month, the fourth month, the fifth month, as long as it's not ready to emerge, so then ubar yerech imo. There is some discussion in a number of Gemaras between the first 40 days and after the first 40 days. That the first 40 days, the fetus is considered Maya Ba'alma, and with respect to a number of halachos, it's considered halachically insignificant. So it could be that some poskim who would hold that Ubar Lav Yerech Imo, that the fetus is its own entity, might hold that only after the first 40 days. Rav Soloveitchik held like that. Ramosha did not hold like that. He was strict even during the first 40 days. But this is, in a sense, a very brief overview of the rationale of Rav Moshe Feinstein, who views abortion as murder, versus Rav Waldenberg, who views it not as murder, as something else, maybe wounding, maybe destroying potential life, maybe even it's only a rabbinic prohibition. And Rav Moshe believes that many of the Rishonim, he believes that Tosus agrees with him, Rashi, Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam probably supports of Moshe Feinstein, although we brought the Torah's Chesed, who said maybe not. The Rambam would only say it's an issue of murder at the very end, at the very end of the woman's pregnancy of the child. And the Rav Waldenberg has a whole host of Rishonim who support, and Achronim who support his position. And this is obviously a major debate amongst the different poskim of the previous generation.